difference between a Democrat and a Republican. A Democrat blows, a Republican sucks. The Democrats believe that the federal government should be in charge, and the Republicans believe that the state should be in charge, and they're both wrong. It has to be, and it has to be the way our founding fathers thought of it, as a combination of federal and state. And the reason they thought of it that way, that we'd be assured if it was federal and state, that there'd be enough people in the room that maybe a few of them could read. The one thing you don't do is give states block grants of money to do with that money what they wish. And the reason is because when I was at school in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I thought that that state was a smart state. Well, no. They had a $600,000 grant to fight crime. They took $15,000 of that grant to fund a study to find out why prisoners wanted to escape from prison. Don't you think for like $500 they could have called any one of us? Even though we'd never been in prison, okay? We could imagine what it was like. Well, you know, the cell is dark and dank, and we don't really get cable, and there's a big guy named Bubba who wants to dance with me. The one thing I've learned over the last 20 years is pretty simple. We function very well without a leader. We've done terrifically. And I've learned one other thing this year. I never understood economics. I don't get it. I've never comprehended it. I tried to take it, but I'd go into the class, 3 minutes into it, I'd go and pass out. But I learned something this year. It's this. When did the Dow Jones go up? It went up when he was getting his winky wet. So that's all it takes. This country doesn't need a president. All this country needs is a guy in the White House who's willing to get a Hummer every now and then. And I think I'm just the man for the job. Thank you. You've been terrific.
Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
This is what you missed last week on Dutch and Royce.
And it was in reference to the movie Wild Wild West, so it made sense in context still because Will Smith was in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, trust me, dude. I'm a weaver of dreams and a speaker of jokes.
You're just not a wearer of coats, though.
I'm not a wearer of coats. I'm not a wearer of coats in the cork of the country, the Big Apple, New York City.
Thank you, Mitch, for sharing the cork of the country with a picture.
It looks like a postcard.
I'm sharing that on Facebook right now. That's phenomenal.
Brandon in the chat says, I've done naughty snow time with the missus when it was 3 degrees out. No wind, no prom. Then you get a windy 30-degree day and you start layering. I don't even know how people have sex outside when it's under 60 degrees. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't even know.
Well, you take your penis and then you put it inside of a vagina.
I know the logistics.
And then you take it out of the vagina and then you put it back in the vagina and then the sexing commences.
That's how that works?
Are you assuming that people only have straight sex, Mitch? Because right there, you fucking mistake number one.
Whatever. You put the penis inside the other penis.
No, that's docking. That's not necessarily.
I don't know if
you
know how this works.
This is not. Whatever. You just smush genitals until someone makes milk. If you repeat the word, it's not gross.
This is Dutch and Royce. We are better than you.
Hello there. You are listening to Dutch and Royce on morelikeradio.com.
I've got the magic.
Holy shit.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Okay. I'm digging the throwback. Okay. I'm loving this. Old Fitty? All day.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
This is back with, actually, this is Lil' Kim with Fivvy.
Featuring.
This is actually on Lil' Kim. Yeah, featuring.
This is when Lil' Kim was still in mid-Pokemon evolution form. She didn't evolve into what she looks like now yet.
Yeah. She was what, she was supposed to be the Nicki Minaj, but then she refused to be, like, more,
Lil' Kim, 40s. The amount of surgery Lil' Kim has had, she looks like a wax doll version of herself now. You know what I mean?
It's kinda
like, it's really bad.
You're listening to Dutch and Royce here at MoreLikeRadio.com. It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017 on MoreLikeRadio.com/live. I am Joel Dutch Van Wingerden here with Royce Lopez.
Hi.
Marie Lopez.
Soup.
Jesus Christ, sorry. My mouth just died on me. Sherry Doll.
I'm drinking whiskey.
Super producer Mitch Heil.
Hello.
And Johnny Cakes and Zeri.
John.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, 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 John. Pew.
Hey,
it's John. We'll get him back.
954-573-2780 is our number. Or if you want to get in touch with us through Skype, Hippo Juice Film, or go to morelikeradio.com/live to join in the chat room.
Yes, the chat room right now is where Hammy is, and he just asked ASL. Marie in the chat goes 13 female O-Town. And not Royce said 12 non-binary Davenport.
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, okay. Davenport is a city in Florida. non-binary.
Oh, the first part, like none of
non-binary, is a form of one of the
Going backwards. I want to start from the beginning.
36 genders. 12 is a number after 11, before the spookiest number, 13.
Okay, none of this makes sense.
And then ASL stands for age, sex, location. If you remember back in the days of AOL chat rooms.
Oh, God. That's right.
Yeah. You just got that now?
Dude.
It's been so long for me that I, yeah. Wow.
When you used to Mac.
ASL.
That was the icebreaker for everyone.
Dude. I'm 32 and I'm just now. I had a flashback there.
Mitch said 30. Mitch 30 Tumblr America. Tumblr's not a, I don't believe a gender
did
yet.
Did you just assume?
Yes, I did. Gender? I'm assuming Tumblr's a website, not a gender.
Tumblr's not a gender.
So I wanted to ask a question, Dutch, and this is, I think, something to mull over here.
You're right. What did happen to the double-decker taco?
Well, first off, we talked about it last week, but there's a fried chicken taco coming. Secondly, there's also now a double-down with a chicken, for a KFC, a double-down with a hot dog in the middle. So instead of a bun, it's chicken, and it has a hot dog in the middle. That's what happened in the double decker.
So you're putting your hot dog between two breasts.
Correct. Right. I'm not just talking about like what we talked about last week. I'm just saying like, we talked about this off there. It was like, hey.
All right.
That's a question everybody always has.
Question I have, and I would love to hear input from the listeners. If they
just put cream on it twice a day, and you'll be fine.
No. First off, it's getting worse. The penis rash has actually come in contact with the ass rash. I don't know if that's a thing or a problem, but anyway.
It's bad right now.
Not
self-inflicted penis to ass rash?
Yes. That's not the question, though.
Okay, what's the question?
Okay, so you know how everyone's like, there's a wage gap between males and females? You know? At least the liberals are saying there's a big wage gap between males and females. My question is, if there's 36 genders, which two genders is there a wage gap in between? See, because they can't have their cake and eat it too. They can't say that there's 36 genders, but say men and women get paid differently. It doesn't work that way. How much do non-binaries make? What do transgendered make? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be offensive.
Is transvestite not a word anymore?
For many years, that was the word I used. Not even offensively. I just thought it was the proper word.
No, transvestite is another word for cross-dresser, but transvestite is considered a little more like mean. So
I believe
to go by the word cross-dresser.
No, the correct term is David cross-dresser is the correct term. Which you have to
by
go
away. Yes. Yeah, did you see any of his special?
Yes. To be a David Crossdresser, you have to shave your head, be a comic, but talk down to anybody that doesn't agree with you and call them stupid repeatedly.
And like he like he, his thing is that he's proud that he walks people. And in the comedy term, that means like people will get up and walk out of your show.
No, no.
But he does it because he's just spewing a completely one-sided political.
No, yeah,
and whatever. If that's your thing, but it's all based in like you were saying, talk down to you if you don't agree or think the way I do. You're stupid and you're dumb.
Well, check this out.
I saw some of his special, dude. I think it lasted like 15 minutes where I was like, this isn't funny.
Check this out.
Like, you're supposed to be a comic.
I like David Cross, the actor, but I hate David Cross, the stand-up. And that, it's very weird. I love him on Arrested Development. I think he's a really good actor. He's a good improv. But when he does...
I have like 3 or 4 sound clips from him.
Yeah. When he does his... when he does his political... Like, gets on his soapbox... He literally talks down to people like anyone that doesn't believe like him is.
Can someone find a less slippery box to climb on top of to talk? I feel like that's unsafe.
What?
Climbing on a soapbox?
Like, there's not soap on the box.
Well, you never know. Some soap might get in contact with the box.
I guess if it's a fucking terrible night, if you use Dove. That's right, Dove. The sponsor for More Like Radio. Dove soapboxes. You could stand on them. You could put your baby on them. That one's free. Dove, the next one's going to cost you. So, Jerry, send that to Dove.
20% lotion.
Yeah, send that to Dove. Yeah, it's not going to dry you out. You're using body wash? What are you, a faggot? Dove, the official soap of MLR. Look,
that
I'm working
the
on these
soap
reads.
That my mother always bought our family growing up, and I still to this day buy that.
I love it. No, normally we use body wash, but we ran out, and Marie popped up. We have some Dove soap bars, and I was like, man, these are great, because any other soap bar is fucking terrible.
Well, though, dude, I remember, like, you know, when I was younger growing up, I would, you know, if you ever had a sleepover at somebody's house, like, there were certain families who only did Ivory. Certain families only did Irish Spring. You
and know by the way, like, not many people know, not many people know. That Ivory actually used to be made from elephant tusk. Unlike Dove, the official sponsor of More Like Radio.
I don't know if that's true.
Look, I want this to be cut up and said to Dove. I think we can fucking work this out.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. Why not? And no,
can we talk about something else that I want to get a sponsor for just real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so Kels and I decided to start doing Blue Apron.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Awesome.
What is Blue Apron?
Blue Apron is basically a subscription service where you get 3 meals, fresh meals, delivered a week. So you get you basically get them all in like a no hold on, listen to me. Like, she's a nurse, I work. We neither of us have time, and we hate going to the grocery store because both of us get anxiety when it comes to stuff. There you go. And basically, what they do is they send you. Marie posted a picture in the chat room. They send you all the raw ingredients and then just basically a step-by-step where assholes like me can actually cook a decent meal. And, man, it's good. Like, it's really good. We had codfish and collard green whatever concoction tonight, and it was great.
You know, I wish that they sold ingredients at stores that you could just go to and pick
up.
We
could, but neither of us are – here's the thing. It's meant for people who are lazy but still want to eat healthy.
You're not being lazy, though. You're just paying more money to have someone else send you a recipe
less.
And the food.
We're doing less because here's the thing is everything is portioned out, and it comes out to about $10 a meal, right?
For both of you or per
person? For both of us. $10 for both of us.
Still kind of expensive.
Not
really. For cooking your own food.
Well, here's the thing is if you're going to the grocery store, you're going to buy a lot of stuff, and a good chunk of that's going to go to waste. We didn't waste any of this stuff. And it gets delivered straight to your door. You just follow the steps. You cook the shit they say. And these are all, like, you know, recipes that I've never heard of. Like, we had this weird chicken thing the other day where, like, we were, you know, it was amazing.
I hate you.
And it's, like, really good food that and meals that I wouldn't have thought to, like, go, okay, I want to have this type of meal. Because I'm not a cook. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. She is, and whenever we do get stuff, she goes and buys a bunch of stuff. And, oh, okay, let's have a lot of it, and then it goes spoiled or whatever. It's $10 a meal, basically. So you're basically paying like $30 this. A week. Why don't you like this?
I don't like this.
Why?
Because it's you're being lazy.
I understand.
You're being lazy, but it's
you're not
saving anything because so it gets delivered to your house, but like I don't know. I just don't like this.
Okay, look, I knew you would hate me on this whole thing, but the fact is that we aren't, you know, live off the land and go kill a seal and feed off the blubber type people.
Hold on. Kiss from a Rose is a really good song. And to kill him just because he has holes in his face, I'm not on board with that. Dude, I like seal.
Okay, Mitch, can you step in my office for real quick?
Okay.
I don't have an office.
This is an open environment, though, so I mean, it's not really.
No. Everybody has earmuffs, including
it's
the
more
listeners.
Of just a cubicle.
Everybody else earmuffs, including the listeners.
See, you're sitting down. I'm standing. Everyone's going to see that I'm here at your desk. It's not really an office. And they know that we're talking.
Yeah. By the way, Sherry, while they do this, open a tab over from Pinterest and see if you could find a partnership with Blue Apron for More Like Radio. That would
be
great.
That's what I was trying to say, Mitch. I'm trying to get a sponsor because they are big on podcasts and radio shows.
I love Blue Apron. This is such a great
whatever.
Idea.
They sound whatever.
They're fucking assholes.
Where did Q in, asshole?
They sound good or bad depending on whether they say yes or no. So I'll let you know.
Good point.
I'll let you know. How about that? As honest as you're going to get.
No, but I'm just saying right now, we haven't been sponsored by them yet, obviously. I'm a fan, man. Like and like I said,
I don't know,
like rando recipes that I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, but
to
counterpoint,
go out, get the ingredients.
Yeah, it
for,
doesn't matter.
And they do it for you.
Counterpoint, and the counterpoint to that is how is that different from Marie and I go to an actual butcher, pick our meat, and we look at different recipes and do it ourselves? You know, because we like to be creative. We don't need a company to send us food in a box. Okay,
we don't need it either. We prefer not to have to.
You need it because you guys cannot eat Big Macs every night. You would get sick.
Sherry's arm is getting tired, so she has to hold it up. She's raising her hand to ask the classic question.
Yes, Sherry.
On 1/13/2015, I tried contacting Blue Apron, but I'll try again.
Okay.
Just saying.
I did try at
once in my life. Just saying. I'm like a year or two ahead of y'all bitches.
Okay, well, why don't we try again? This time, you know what?
You contacted in 2013? You contacted? 15.
I have a spreadsheet of affiliates that
Mitch,
I contacted.
Mitch, I can't believe I'm going to do this because I know it's a little bit of work. But if there's any way you could cut up Dutch's little read for Blue Apron and send it in that email, it would sound great. Not the part where,
without
you know.
My part?
Not your part.
Interrupted me and told me that it was a shitty thing to do.
Not your part. So
can I also send them my part?
No, not you.
Got it. Send Mitch's part.
But I'm on a different network.
Here's another thing that they do, too. Okay, so
that looks difficult already.
So they give you the full-on, like, they give you exactly how much, you know, you get free recipes.
You know what the problem is, Dutch?
So
you know the problem?
Going on allrecipes.com and looking for all.
So if you like the recipe, you actually tried it out, you tasted it, you're like, that's awesome. I'm going to go ahead and put this one away. So if we want that one again, we can go to the grocery store and be like, oh, okay, all we got to do is get this, that, and we're good.
It's kind of like printing a recipe off the internet and like, I like this. I'm going to put it in my binder of recipes.
Yeah, it's too much, though.
See, that's what it is. Like,
this right here, this is laminated, though.
Yeah, Dutch. Nice it feels pretty. Like it's something that would give
me. It gives me. Here's the thing. It gives me one. It gives me a six-step thing of actually how to prepare it.
Kind of like the instructions on a recipe that you find for free.
Yeah, but this one's.
But you don't need instructions on how to rock.
I mean, they really retard proof it too if they laminate it. Just so fucking morons like that.
This is fucking. This is high quality shit.
Morons like Dutch don't spill his fucking Coors Light on his paper.
Olive oil all over it. I don't know.
Not
I can't
morons,
fucking read it anymore.
Smart people like me, millions of people use Blue Apron every day.
Shut up. Don't use your Reed voice on me, motherfucker.
Right, I'm trying to get a
Don't use.
I don't like corporate Dutch.
Yeah, by the way, and I don't like those fucking instructions because I'm a big rebel and I don't want to be told what to do. I want to cook. I want to cook. Fuck
you. Everything. Oh, you know what? Here's a fun little thing. They give you a suggestions for wine pairings.
Okay, I'm sold.
Each one of these things.
Well, do they give you Coors Light pairings though?
No, they did not. I was kind of bummed by that.
Usually, the pay for Coors Light is NASCAR.
That was one thing I actually asked. I'm like, why don't they give beer pairings? Why does it have to be wine pairings?
Because
they're all fruitcakes.
Blue Apron is not for white trash people. All right.
Today we had a lemon I would caper beg to differ, catfish with spiced lentils and collard greens. That's what we had today.
Whoa, African American greens.
Oh, Jesus. Collard greens?
Oh, collard.
Why do they call them collard greens?
I go for it no matter what, Dutch. Sorry, I have to.
Thank you.
I actually
tomorrow
think that...
I'm going to... I'm going to have...
Shut up, Dutch. Yes, Marie?
I was actually just going to defend Dutch. I think that it's fantastic that you're using the apron.
Oh, hold on. Shut up, Marie. See, fucking do this for you to defend
That's
Dutch.
Very nice.
Why do you think it's fantastic that I use a great company BlueApron.com there, Marie?
Well, you know, it's nice that if you actually needed help, that you went out and you sought help.
Oh, my God.
Well, it wasn't help
like
so much.
AA kind of like
I was going to say an AA meeting.
Yeah, like admitting that you're not good at cooking is the first step. And then you went and you found a group of people that are supporting you through this difficult time.
Blue Apron. YouTube. Blue Apron for laminated recipes, and they also make fake IDs. So if you want to use
Kelsey
them.
Kelsey is a very, very good cook. She's a great cook. But we saw that and we're like, hey, let's give that a try. See if it'll take out the need for us to think of a recipe and then go to the store and buy the shit for it. Let's just have them do the work for us and let's just give it a try.
So are you also subscribing to that Trunk of the Month club where they dress you also?
Oh, my God. Look,
just because I do one doesn't mean I do all of them. You guys are making the most ridiculous comparisons right now. Just because I use a great company like Blue Apron.
Shut up. I don't hear it.
Doesn't mean you get to I'm not the subscription guy to just do all that shit.
Yeah. Shut up.
We just wanted to give it a try. You do it on a month-by-month basis.
Says the guy who has a lifetime subscription to Maxim magazine. I don't want to hear it. You're not a subscriber.
Me or him.
Both of you.
What step, recipe are you on now?
Yeah, what recipe are you on now of the 12 recipe program?
We're going to do the Bucatini pasta bolognese with Brussels
bologna?
Sprouts.
Bologna? Pasta with bologna? And it sounds terrible.
Bolognese,
you mean?
It's a Italian word, I'm assuming.
Fucking saying it like a fucking idiot. You fucking
bolognese or bolognese
with a
whatever.
Stupid Philly accent. I can't.
Is that a botch?
Phony bolognese for dinner.
Bolognese.
I said bolognese. Right?
No, bolognese.
Bolognese. That's the white trash of Italian pasta.
It is. It actually is.
Is it?
I'm Italian.
So
you're having spaghetti.
Bucatini pasta bowl. I'm not even going to try that word anymore.
Just say spaghetti.
Yeah, I figured it was a spaghetti because I'm looking at the picture and it's spaghetti definitely. So, and yeah, they give you step-by-step instructions. It's great.
Now, also, Dutch, how is this different from the service I'm coming up with called Jew Apron, where you have a Jewish mom calls
not
you.
Not allowed to say that.
Hold on. A Jewish mom calls you and then nags you, but she'll still give you a recipe at the end. What do you think? Jew Apron, official sponsor of More Like Radio. And also, Jew Apron will use Dove soap to wash your mouth out.
Jew Apron also tells you about how the success of the neighbors are and why can't you be more successful than Herschel.
Why aren't you a doctor?
I found you a nice boyfriend. Why won't you date him?
Do you want to die alone?
Can you tell you? You know, Jewish women get made fun of a lot, but those women have single-handedly made more doctors and lawyers than any other people on the planet.
I think Indians have a run for their money there.
No, but my point is the nagging. I think turns Jewish men into doctors or lawyers because it's like, all right, I have to, Mom, just shut up.
World helpers.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I have seen a lot of Indians. Actually, when we went to
go.
Yeah,
but how many billion do they have? I want to know a percentile of doctors and lawyers world population. Because Israel is a very small country.
Good point.
And India is jam-packed.
Pretty big.
Full
Marie's
Indians.
Got a good point. We're doing per capita. Yeah, but when we went
and
to.
And think about how many people in India are just working at a help desk.
When we went to the Hackensack.
Help desk? No, they're doing Bollywood acting and dancing.
By the way, some of those Bollywood movies have bigger budgets than Hollywood movies because that's so big over there. It's ridiculous. But yeah, we went to the Hackensack Hospital to visit my grandfather there. Yeah, there was a lot of Indian doctors there. Like that's over the past like 10 years, I've seen a big influx of that. You know,
so I found these stats here. This isn't for the U.S., but Jewish people made 1% of the German population. I'm just reading the thing. It said Jews made up, but I'm Jewish people made up 1%.
You're editorializing to make it not sound as bad.
I'm trying here because the title of this thing is "Are Jews Smarter?"
Well, why would you?
Who wrote this? Nazipropaganda.org.
The problem is that
New York Magazine.
No, you're the one. Here's the thing that popped up because that's what you search for in Google.
I search for percentage of Jewish doctors. That's what I search for.
Oh my God!
This thing
you're
is saying
liar, big Jewish, fat liar, pants on fire.
Jewish people made up 1% of the German population.
He's not telling you the adjectives he used. It was dirty Jewish.
Jews made up 1% of the German population, but they made up 50% of all the doctors in Berlin and 60% of all the doctors in Vienna.
Oh wow! Okay.
Now that's just Germany, but in the U.S. it's 10% of all physicians are of Indian origin.
Really?
Huh.
So I don't know. I don't have the Jewish doctors for the U.S. yet. I'm looking for that still. But
now, when you say Indian, is that Uda Buda Buda or lo 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 lo?
No, it's not Native American.
Dot, not a feather.
It's not the feather. Those are the ones that work at the casino, and we know that.
Yeah, not 7-Eleven casino.
Yeah,
or no, is 7-Eleven not casino?
Can it be both?
No.
Oh,
sorry.
You never make screams.
Oh, so yesterday we went to since it was MLK Day, we went to
a chocolate emporium.
That was not the reason we went to the chocolate emporium. It was not because it was MLK Day.
Trying to expand to a wider audience here.
No, we happened to Dutch.
How dare both of you?
Fucking Christ! That's not the point. It is now. No, it's unrelated. Is my point? They're unrelated things. Yes, we went to Universal on Martin Luther King Day. And yes, we also happen to go to a chocolate emporium, but they had nothing to do with each other.
By chocolate emporium, do you mean Ghirardelli's?
No. The picture that I posted in the chat.
Is this like the Charlie Chocolate Factory kind of like
thing? It's what it looks like. It's
That what they were going for?
Yeah, that's the theme kind of. Kind of. That is the theme, but it's not. It's like if they did a ripoff of it because there's no Charlie and Chocolate Factory branding on it. But anyway, it's in Universal. It replaced the NBA City restaurant, which Maria always calls the NBA Jam restaurant, which is not a thing. That's a video game. They tore that down and they built this chocolate emporium. Okay, look at those milkshakes.
My God. What are those wonderful things you posted?
Okay, let me explain. Hold on. Let me explain. The first one we saw the menu, we're like, $12 for a fucking milkshake? What the? And then when we saw the milkshake, we're like, well, hold on. It's not just a milkshake. For example, the red velvet one, it's a red velvet cupcake milkshake with an actual red velvet cupcake on top of it.
It looks like there's a penis drawn on it.
Yes.
Look at the size of those straws. Jesus Christ.
That one has a donut on top. Dude. Anyway, but they also had regular food. I had chicken wings encrusted with chocolate, but it was really good.
Tina had a chocolate mule.
Yes, which is a Moscow mule, but with chocolate. And what did you get for dessert? Oh my God.
I got a chocolate pie.
So, then this lady comes by dressed steampunky and speaking in a British accent.
I posted the picture in the chat.
Oh yeah, that's her.
There's also a robot guy that doesn't really say much, but he robots in front of you.
Right. Yeah.
He just tips his hat at you.
But here's the thing. So he's okay. So it's apparently steampunk. So it's set like in the turn of the century, late 1800s, early 1900s, but it's still steampunk. So there's a guy dressed like a turn of the century Iron Man. And I'm like, I don't get how that would work. Cause back then it'd be coal powered and he would die. You know, it would just be a big, how would the robotics work?
It could have been steam,
I guess. But anyway, they come and they talk to you at the table, and then they're pretty cool.
We didn't know what the menu was going to look like. We were trying to look up stuff ahead of time, and it really wasn't.
What's it called?
It's so new.
What's the full name? Because it's a really long name.
Universal's Toothsome Chocolate Emporium.
Lose your foot from diabetes.
An anti-typewriter repair.
To some chocolate emporium and savory feast kitchen.
Yes. So, it's delicious, by the way. If you're out there, go to it. It's definitely worth it. It's really fucking good. So we were talking at the table.
I had seen it the last time I was at Universal, and I was like, what the fuck is that? I want to go right now. It looks just like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory outside.
We were speaking at the table to someone who was recently single, and she was talking about, like, oh, you should try Tinder. And she's like, oh, I'm not going to try Tinder. And joking around, she goes, oh, maybe I should get on Grindr. And I look at her, and I go, oh, I go, I'm a bear. And I go, here's the thing. You might be really pretty, but I would kill you on Grindr, you know? And it just so happens there was a waiter over there who turned out to be gay. He walks over and he goes, I'm sorry. I overheard you guys. And I have to say, are you straight? And I go, yeah, I'm straight. He goes, I just love that you guys are straight, but you know what you are in the gay community. You know the terms. I'm like, oh yeah, dude. I go, we go to gay clubs way more than straight clubs. He's like, you guys are
bear off. Five.
I know. And it was just like, we blew his mind, you know?
No, but.
So it was just some rando girl that was, what?
One of our
you were talking to
no, 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 one no, of our friends at our table.
One of our friends was recently single.
Know.
Is what
oh,
I said.
Was your friend? You didn't make it seem like you knew her.
No, I. If you listen back, I said one of our
don't,
friends was
don't
recently
worry
single.
About it.
Yes.
The table next to us had a little girl that bought the milkshake
with
that
the red
had,
velvet
that came
cupcake.
With the cupcake on top, and we had to wait a long time for dinner because there were no reservations, so it was walk-ins only, so we had to wait 40 minutes to
and
sit
we
down.
Had just walked all day through a theme park, so we were fucking starving.
40 minutes waiting, and then we sat down, and it took an hour for us to get our food. And we're staring at the girl that got the red velvet cupcake
to the
milkshake.
Point where the mom looks at me and starts laughing. And then we all look at the girl and I give her the thumbs up. I'm like, you ordered good. You're good.
We
that
like
looks so good.
Applauding the little girl for her choice in good ice cream.
To the point that we were also disappointed because she only took one bite of the cupcake and drank a bit of the milkshake. Then she was full. And I was like, would it be bad manners if I go over there and go, look, if you're not going to finish it,
can I finish this? And then we started on a whole rant about how much milkshake goes to waste at this place.
Oh, God, it has to be an Olympic-sized swimming pool every night. Because, by the way, this place is right in between Islands of Adventure and Universal, and those theme parks get packed. But when they let out, that place gets fucking packed, and it's huge. So the amount of milkshakes and desserts that go to waste there is ridiculous.
You could probably feed a small army.
Yeah. Oh, so we went to Universal, and again with our friend who we were talking about, and also we went with Ramcat and Buttercup. So we were there, and we're at the theme park. And last time we went, if you don't remember, I sat next to my friend, and I recited from beginning to end the entire Mummy ride because I wrote it so. Me, Marina, I wrote it so many times that I know all the words to it before they say it. The animatronic words, everything. Well, this time Marie was with me, and we told her, you sitting in the middle, we are going to dictate the entire ride in stereo for you. By the way, with a car full of people also.
We were in the back row yelling it out for the whole
Well, then why
ride.
Would you want to go if you've been
because
on the ride that many
Because
it's times.
Also a roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster. And
well,
it's fun.
I'll explain why. When Marie and I rode that a lot because when the first 3 years we were dating, it was long distance. I was in South Florida and she was in the University of Florida in Gainesville. My parents had a vacation place in Orlando and we used to meet every week in Orlando. So we had annual passes to Universal. So we would ride it a lot. You know what I mean? Because,
you know, I was underage and drinking
at the
really
time.
Wasn't a thing.
So we rode it a lot to the point where we knew all the words. So anyway, we're riding the ride. There's all these other people in the car, the girls in the middle. So we're saying all the words. For whatever reason.
Can I pause real quick?
Sure.
Okay. I just figured the average milkshake is like, what, 20 ounces or so?
Mm.
So that's 103,192 milkshakes per Olympic swimming pool. So if you figure half of a milkshake goes to waste, that's 206,000 milkshakes to fill up a swimming pool.
Okay, so it can't be that many. Also, you're autistic. Look, dude, it has to be fucking said.
Autistic or artistic?
It has to be said.
The shit that Mitch will hone in on like a sniper and just like, I got to figure this math out. Just,
I love that that's your new thing. That's a fun new thing that you do.
So anyway, awesome. Back to the story. We were riding the mummy here, and and we're saying all the words for the rides, and it's animatronic, you know. So, and then there's also part roller coaster. And when we get to a certain part, the audio's not working.
The audio kicked off. And
it just turned off.
And Royce and I knew the...
all the words.
So we yelled
and
it.
And his mouth's moving and we're screaming it.
We yelled it for the whole
car.
The
whole word... hold on. All the words. And then it was like, you know, what is it? Not even the Magi can save you now.
There is no escape.
Your end shall be my beginning. Your souls are mine. And we said that part and it fired through. And by the way, our friend is cracking up in the middle and we're laughing and
we got high five.
Hold on. So then we get off the ride and this other dude in front of me, he goes, were you the guys that were saying all the words when it was broken? I go, yeah, we were. He goes, that made it awesome, man. I can't believe you guys knew all the words. Like he was fucking giving us props and high fiving us.
We got claps from our car. We saved the ride.
So as soon as I get out of the ride, I look at Marie and I go, I've been training all my life for this moment. And finally, we did it. We fucking did it. Oh, fuck. We are so annoying in theme parks. We're the worst people there.
You were the loudest one in everything.
I know it was awesome.
You were yelling all of your jokes because you want other people to hear how obnoxious you are.
Yes, I do. Because I get. Oh, okay. At one point. We were at the horror makeup show where like it's like these two guys, they're on stage and they show you how they do different horror effects, you know,
in movies.
And this one guy came out and he had the horseshoe bald thing going on, but he still had this puff in the middle and he had the puff get really high, right?
His middle head puff was about 2.5 inches long. That he didn't like buzz it down. And so
it was puffy, like.
But he was in a spotlight.
Think of a poodle's tail, like on the top of his head, but it was still horseshoe balled around.
He was on stage.
Was it part of the act?
No,
he was on stage, with a spotlight hitting his head, and you could see the light shivering through.
So like Will Ferrell's character in Zoolander?
No.
Or what am I imagining?
Okay, check it out. Think horseshoe bald, right? Bald, but in the middle. He had, think of like a mohawk, but that's the only place where his hair would grow.
And not even a thick one, a very wispy, fine, wispy baby hair.
It looked almost
like a Rob Corddry.
Right, yes, it looked almost pubic. So,
every time he turned around,
I lean over.
And the light caught it, you could see this, like, he didn't gel it, it's just sticking straight up in every which way, like, it's too thin to bother to comb.
So I lean over to my friend and I go, hey. You think when he woke up this morning, looked in the mirror, and he goes, fucking nailed it with his hair. She started laughing, but she got a case of like when I broke her. You don't want to break you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Problem is on radio, it's okay because it's just us. We're in a
giggling in the background.
A theater full of people.
An intimate theater where we were only about 5 rows back from where he's trying to perform live.
So she's broken. And
every time he walks into the spotlight,
hair that would light the hair, right?
She would start over again. Like she'd finally calm down.
People
are
looking at us.
She'd look at it again and she started up again and she has a loud laugh.
By the way, people were looking at us and I would have a sigh of relief when the people on stage would say something funny and everybody else would laugh to cover up the fact that she was laughing.
Oh, sigh of relief. This guy over here is still trying to crack new jokes while she's still broken from the previous joke. And I'm like, would you stop trying to be funny for a second?
I called him Mac Lales. That made it worse. Anyway, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
We did.
Reminds me of when we were at when we were in Branson.
Like, yes.
What was it that like you guys said something about Ryakov Smirnov's son when he was attempting to like do jokes on stage?
Yep.
Somebody said something that made my girlfriend start laughing a lot. It was
a very similar situation, except imagine more laughing in a smaller theater.
So Hammy goes, he goes, the Terminator ride was hysterical. That's right. I did that. We did that with Hammy. So there's this ride at Universal. It's still open and it's called T2 3D, Terminator 2 3D.
Now, how many Terminators have been made since this ride?
We did the math. There's been Salvation, Terminator 3. So three have been made since this ride came out. But this
Genesis.
Ride... Genesis, that's
they're
right.
Still doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So, and hold also on. The TV shows, too.
Yeah, that's right. So there's T2 3D. Now, and this guys, if you ever go to Universal, please ride this. And here's why.
It's not a ride. It's a theater.
It's
show.
A theater. It's a 3D show. So you're sitting down in the theater. It is a time capsule of the 90s. So when you walk in, you're walking into fictional Cybernine. They filmed this 3D movie right at the same time they filmed Terminator 2. So you get this John Connor, that same young Schwarzenegger, right? And the problem is it's 3D and you're watching it, but at some points live action actors come out dressed like Arnold Schwarzenegger or like John Connor at the same time. And it's
this is still a thing they're doing today.
Yes, yes, today.
In Universal. Yeah,
Terminator 2 was made in 1991.
Yeah.
With the amount of money that these theme parks have, like, why wouldn't they update that? That
everything,
was 1991?
Everything is dated, dude. All the videos.
Dude, if something that they were still doing from 2001, I'd be mad.
Dutch, and all the like videos.
If something they were still doing from 2011, I'd be mad.
They were very busy building Harry Potter World, and they did not have time to revamp T2.
John, yes, you're right. John, yes, you're right. To show you how age it was, I don't know if you guys heard, but John has a good point. During the video, they show Shaquille O'Neal shooting a free throw wearing his Orlando Magic jersey. If you want to know how far back that video was made.
Wow.
And
they're not even trying anymore.
No, dude. And then the actors like don't even look like it because it's supposed to be far away and they fool you. But like Arnold Schwarzenegger looks – it's like a fat Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like him, the actor.
And it's not like a once-a-day show. It has – they rerun it every 45 minutes.
Every 45 – every hour, let's say. Yeah. Every hour they rerun
during
this
the day.
Ride. And so it's – you know, it's continually going and it's like – They've revamped so many other rides, and this thing, for whatever reason.
Well, we just now noticed that they finally got rid of the awful Twister ride and are replacing it with some sort of Jimmy Fallon experience.
Hammy just reminded me in the video that they go, in the future, you'll be able to access your contacts anywhere. You can't, anywhere on one device. Royce and I shouted, yeah, it's called Google during the video. It wasn't fun. It's just, I get so, I just want to have people to have a good time. I don't think I'm that annoying. Like, for example, when you're riding the Men in Black ride in Universal, when you're riding the Men in African American ride, they still have that ride too. Couple things. Number one, there's a gift shop when you get out of it, and it is continually playing.
Here come the Men in Black.
The Men in Black song, right? But it's continually playing in a loop, and you hear it in the gift shop, and the employees in that gift shop, I don't know how they don't kill themselves because, dude, it's that one song, the Men in Black theme song, over and over.
You have to tune it out.
And over.
They just have to tune it out.
So we're on the Men in Black ride. And
Men in African American ride.
Men in African American ride.
Yes, and? Oh, were you thinking about when right before we went onto the cart and there were the two dads that were in the
yes.
child?
Oh my god, it was
the
so,
child waiting area
so
in the room above us.
So
there's a weird overhang glass ceiling room where it's like the child swap area if you don't want to ride a ride, and there just so happened to be two white dads looking out of that window down onto us. So I looked up. One was handsome buff dad. The other one was evil lord villain.
Yeah,
dad.
So he's looking over, like Marie says, with this glass partition.
I wish we had taken a photo.
From the top, and he's all bald, completely bald. He had glasses, super skinny, pale. He looked like a vampire, but like not one that was like turned, but born a vampire. You know what I mean? Like one of the old bloods. And he's looking down, and he's crossing his arms, and he's like saying, yeah. And I kept making, pretending like, you know, you're doing thing where you pretend you're talking when he's talking.
Yeah.
And I kept doing like,
oh, I
yes,
do that all the time.
Yes, look at the cattle all herding into the ride. They don't know that it's my secret experiment, and I'm here to kill them all.
Meanwhile,
that's my favorite thing to do is like, yeah. Act like you see someone who clearly can't hear you,
yep.
But you're just mimicking what they're saying as they're doing something.
Yep.
I love doing that.
I was doing it. I did it a few times, and the buff dad like kept picking up his kid and like raising it, like he was doing push-ups with his kids to show.
Yeah, I know.
How,
so stupid.
How awesome his arms were next to scrawny little nerd evil guy dad. Yeah.
Oh, and when you're walking into it, they have this fake elevator to take you to the Men in Black thing. So they herd everyone into this elevator thing to get into the line. And I did a classic, all right, who farted? And I got a mild response. So
yeah, it wasn't that great.
Oh, no, you bombed.
No, I didn't bomb. I thought it was it was really good line. I crushed it.
But my favorite guy that I was imagining what he was thinking was when we were getting tacos at the Bumblebee guy's taco truck outside the Simpsons Land. By the way, I only eat in Simpsons Land. It's phenomenal, only because everything's a joke.
Yes.
And
yes. It is pretty amazing.
There's a guy standing waiting for his tacos in the truck that goes every 30 seconds, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right in his face.
Every 30 seconds.
He was holding his face, or he was holding his hand up to his chin, like he was thinking, my God, what have I done with my life?
I wish that there was a way we could, because I don't know if this has been done yet, but I would love to see people of theme parks, like a people of Walmart. Because if you sit there and just people watch sometimes, you'll see some parents make these faces of utter regret of like, what am I doing with my life? Why didn't I have an abortion face? Like it's just
I'm eating a taco.
I'm being serious.
I'm a bumblebee guy. Yeah,
exactly.
Taco
this
truck.
Adult male.
How did I end up here?
Great hair guy who shouldn't be there. He served his time, you
he
know?
He was in a collared shirt.
Yeah. He served his time. And he's sitting there eating a taco from a truck with a
No, we didn't watch him eat a taco. He was standing
waiting,
there
for,
waiting
his taco.
For his taco. And his head was, his chin
with
was in his
hands. With a
cartoon
bumblebee man on it.
For minutes on end, he was just in deep contemplative thought of, what have I done? I should be here.
I
shouldn't be
waiting
for this taco.
I should be in a beach somewhere.
I should have made something of myself.
I know. It was
I should have been a millionaire. Why did I turn down that job on Wall Street? Like, he was going through the motions in his head.
Oh my, another ride that I recommend, because I want to give great, terrible ride recommendations. Ride E.T. at Universal. Yes, that ride is still around.
Oh my God. What is Universal doing?
What exactly?
Making more Harry Potter worlds and not
Harry Potter.
Shit.
Harry Potter world is literally
just, like,
carrying.
They're going to go out of their way to carve a huge chunk and be relevant there, but their theater shows and their rides are still dating
the 90s. Well, I want to explain this E.T. ride. When did E.T. come out? What year? Can
1982.
Somebody? 82. Okay.
82. No, really?
No, John is right. 1982. So this, when you go on this E.T. ride, here's the story of the E.T. ride. Now, before you go, oh my God, what a wacky story. Universal's crazy. I looked this up after this weekend. Steven Spielberg wrote this sequel for the ride, and Steven Spielberg is actually, you see a video of him in this ride. So this story was not Universal going, let's make a wacky story to make a theme park ride. This is Steven Spielberg saying, I'm going to write a sequel to E.T., but it's going to be a theme park ride.
And he comes out in the introductory
video.
I'm Steven Spielberg, and I'm on mushrooms. And right. You're going to go through my mushroom ride with me.
Okay.
Because I wanted to make Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, but with E.T.
He's not on mushrooms. But
enjoy E.T. on mushrooms.
I recommend anybody go online and look, and you could find a YouTube video of the E.T. ride. So you could.
Thought you were about to say, I recommend you guys go online and buy mushrooms.
Yeah. So Steven Spielberg, so this ride has antiquated technology. And back then when the ride first came out, Mitch, can you look up when the E.T. ride first came out at Universal? When it first came out, and they still do this, you go and you give your name at the beginning, and they give you this card.
By the way, to give the listeners context, that movie came out 2 years before I was born.
1990.
1990 is when the ride came out. Okay, so when the ride came out.
I was 6 years old.
When the
ride came out, yeah. And they're still running it.
Yes. So when the ride came out, and they still do this to this day, when you go in, they give you this interstellar, passport, quote unquote, and then you give your name, and at the end of the ride, E.T. thanks you, but I don't want to get to myself, but he thanks you by saying your name. Unless you have a name that's complicated, or any name, basically, or any name, period. So
like my brother's name, Chandler.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, exactly.
Or now, I always give a joke name.
Wait, okay, so you type in your...
No,
explain this.
You don't type in anything. A human being who wants to kill himself has to take every person's name that goes through this ride and jots it down into a database so that later E.T. can say said name back to you. I gave the name Bort.
Yes, but now I want to see if I can find the Spielberg video To explain the plot.
Here's the thing, though. Is this ride packed every showing?
No. It's always a 10-minute wait.
Yeah, it's pretty empty. But it's still there. And my point
still,
is...
The fact that people are still doing it is...
Isn't the ball pit still there, too? Like, the water...
But that's just it. Is it like, why wouldn't they just, okay, shut that ride down, take a little bit of time to revamp, put up some new whatever you need to do. Right. Go ahead and change the ride. Have the ride be the same. Just change the audio and visual of it.
Here, Dutch, let's go on a little interstellar journey with us, okay? This is somebody filming the ride. So they're looking at a screen. This is the line before you get into the ride. E.T. Adventure. Let's see the video, okay? All right.
Steven Spielberg, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to the ET Adventure.
It's just a joke, and it's not a joke.
I know. I want to hear. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. Hold on.
You may remember me from such Universal films as
Indiana Jones. All right,
Star Wars. He's literally 30 years younger in this.
Okay, keep watching this.
Look at his aviator leather jacket, though.
But keep watching this. So you can hear the plot.
Hi, I'm tripping balls. I mean, Steven Spielberg.
Here you go. Okay.
To the ET Adventure. But I'm afraid we don't have much time, so I'm going to cut right to the chase. ET needs your help. Now, we've just received an urgent message from ET's teacher, Botanicus, calling for ET to come home right away. You see, a big problem has developed 3 million light years away on ET's home world, the Green Planet. ET's friends are in danger because...
Whoa, 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 this plot is thickening way too quickly for me.
By the way, Spielberg wrote this. I want to be crystal clear.
Did he write it or did his producer?
No, he wrote it.
Say,
no,
this is a good idea.
He wrote this 100%. I looked this up. Spielberg. Now, so I have a question later. I have a question that I want the listeners to think about while I play this video. Was Spielberg a brilliant director or was it just the '80s? Okay, let's keep playing.
The planet is dying. Remember what ET's friends look like, because it's going to be up to you to help ET find them once we get him home, and there's not a moment to lose. Because only E.T.'s magic healing touch can save his friends and bring his planet back to health.
You know what? That was where I got lost in the middle of the ride.
By the way, plot hole. Yes, explain. Go ahead.
So the ride is all like, if E.T. comes home, he's going to save his whole planet because his finger glows and he has a healing touch.
So E.T.'s the only one that can save the planet. Why would they let him be the one to leave and go to Earth to begin with?
So he comes
because
back.
Because he's already experienced Earth.
So
it doesn't.
Apparently.
John, do not
Apparently,
sorry.
The
sorry, John. It angers me. That's all.
In this ride, when E.T.'s off the world, it's dead and desolate and brown. And the moment E.T. lands back on the planet, they're all like, "Welcome home!"
No. When you land on the planet, there's an animatronic mushroom that says, "Welcome home."
Yes,
but we'll get to that. Let's keep playing.
E.T. must go home, and only you can help him. E.T.
Trouble.
That's right, E.T. So why don't you show these people how we're going to get you back to the Green Planet? You and E.T. will be making your 3 million light year journey on these bikes.
Now hold on.
Now did you hear that? You want to?
Whoa!
Did you hear that?
Journey on bike.
300 million light year journey on these bikes.
On these huffies.
No, look, I don't want to sound like a broken record.
Well, he's going off the movie, which is
I don't want to sound like a broken record. But Steven Spielberg wrote this.
Can we go faster than the speed of light so it doesn't take us 300 million years to get there?
No.
Can I have a spacesuit?
No, you don't even have a spacesuit. Again, by the way, if you could travel to his planet on these bicycles, why the fuck did E.T. have to wait for the spaceship? E.T. successfully transferred me and all my fucking asshole friends to his planet, and we didn't have spacesuits? So what I'm saying is... Fuck you, Steven Spielberg! How dare you ruin my childhood! Let me keep playing this.
You don't have the pedals, but you will need an interplanetary passport. So, before you leave with E.T., tell your first name
to win. Why do you need a passport? You're taking a flying bike!
That passport.
Hey, we're taking magic bikes.
By the way,
but we still have a rigorous TSA.
By the way, that passport is what they do when human being one has to enter my joke name Bort. Then I have to hold that piece of card until I get to the ride and line to sit down, and then I hand that back to them, which could have been done through an email, an instant message, some sort of computer database. I don't know. I don't know why I have to still carry a piece of plastic to the end of the line so that E.T. can mistakenly say my name wrong.
Mammy, you want me to give you the explanation for that? Or
sure, John.
Because E.T. the defender. Seat that you're sitting in, that car that has your said name on it, it's so that you're sitting in that particular ride, it knows that that person that put that card there. So when you pass by E.T., it'll actually transfer sound your actual name.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, except it didn't say Bort at the end of it.
No, it just the names.
Well, yeah, because E.T.'s vocabulary is for like the basic 10 names that are in the human language.
None of our names were said. It got its cart wrong.
Okay, let's keep going. Okay, please. And Hammy says, Roy should steal Honest Trailer Stick and do Honest Theme Park Rides. Let's keep going.
Our assistants, and they'll give you your pass.
Shut the fuck up, E.T.
It was on the screen for like a quarter second.
I know. Is this the E.T. ride or the Steven Spielberg experience?
Oh, by the way, E.T. is on opium right now.
E.T.'s fucking high as a kite.
So am I.
That's the whole thing. He doesn't have the healing touch. He's just giving opium.
Look how he looks.
E.T.'s just giving opium to everyone, and then they're getting high as fuck, and they don't know. E.T. did not fix the planet. He just gave them all an opium trip.
That's all. No, dude. Again, well, let's keep playing. You'll see what I mean.
Oh, it's up to you to save this planet so that he may visit us again.
All right, I'm going to fast forward to the part so you get onto the ride because really nothing happens in the queue. That's the card. Also, by the way,
we've got some unauthorized people entering the.
Here you go. Here's the ride. So right now you're strapped into these bikes. Now the bikes, there's 4-4-4. It's like on this platform, and you're hooked into the ceiling basically. While you're riding underneath it, so to make it look like you're flying at a certain point.
We've got some unauthorized people entering the base. Wait, they got E.T.
So, you know, you're running away from the police with E.T. is in the basket. Now, at one point, and this is the part where it gets shoddy to me.
This is the point.
I'll explain where. Okay, now you're flying, which, again, it makes sense that you're flying because it was in the movie. You know what I mean?
This is the only part that makes sense, why you're on bikes, so that you can do the bike over the moon thing.
The moon thing, you know? So now here's the thing. At this point, you're traveling the speed of light, and you go 300 million miles without an oxygen suit, without any sort of protection, and you arrive on E.T.'s, and I'm going to say it, the Green Planet should be Space Detroit. That place is fucking terrible. Dude. So look, that's you transporting 300 million light years, as you can tell by the dry ice machine and the lights blinking. Here it is. Dutch, there's a nice picture in the chat room if you want to see why I said it looks like a mushroom trip. Yeah. Wait. There's E.T.'s weird grandfather dad. I don't know what that is. Now I'm waiting for my favorite mushroom. It's coming up here in a second. E.T.'s using his magic to heal the planet, by the way.
Yeah. You mean opium.
Is opium magic.
Welcome home. You returned.
We can all get high now.
Here it is. Did you see?
Home.
You see that mushroom just saying "Welcome home" to me?
Look at all those eyes. It's scary.
The fact that this is still a ride at Universal is embarrassing to us as humans progressing into the 21st century.
Merch says, "I'm not seeing the problem here." No, I mean,
I don't. This is still a ride. This
scientifically
is people
speaking,
pay money. And go in to do. It's like, dude, if I was in Universal, I'd walk by and be like, that's still.
Here's the thing. Not only
Terminator,
that.
That's still a ride.
Not only that.
No, let's go to Harry Potter. Let's go to something updated.
E.T. rubes are still going to this shit.
E.T. is stuck in the back. You know what locals call E.T. there? They call it the air conditioning ride. When it's too hot in July and you want to just like go on a ride to cool off and you know it's not going to have a line, you ride E.T., you know? Because there's no real other reason for it. It's not cool.
About,
it's not
how
fun.
About they change it out and do,
they're right. Only now getting to changing out Twister. They're
We just got rid of Twister.
Twister should be – that's the one we should be mocking right now. Twister came out – like that movie came out in, what, 98?
Yeah. Oh, believe me. I mocked Twister.
Twister used to
this
be Ghostbusters.
This movie came out in 82! 82!
Twister,
and they still have a ride about
Twister
it.
Wasn't even a ride. Twister was a, hey, stand up for a minute.
Twister was a walking ride.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Twister, that's what Ghostbusters used to be, and they got rid of that.
You're missing my point.
Well, hold on.
82. Fucking two, this movie came out. Hold and there's on. Still a ride about it in Universal.
Well, Twister opened up in 98.
What a white trash, fucking horrible.
Dutch. Dutch, you always. Dutch.
Universal Studios is.
You always have to leave.
Hopefully, firebombs that place.
You always have to leave a couple really shitty rides just to be filler so that, you know, you have people to dump out.
You don't have to. Not this many years later.
All right.
That's 34 years later, you need that as a filler ride.
Now, by the way, for anyone
not buying it,
for anyone just that might not know where we are here, the thing. By the way, just to remind everyone, Spielberg wrote this. E.T. is now back on his planet, and his healing touch is healing all these weird mushroom creatures. Apparently, because
34 years ago,
yeah. So here we go. Look at all those flowers. Look how creepy that is. What is that? It's like a doll head with like weeds coming out of it. What fucking E.T.'s planet is a planet of horrors. No wonder he left. All right, well, pretty much that's it. You get the gist of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were on mushrooms.
Fucking sick and tired. They have the money.
They still do it. It's just crazy to me.
Honestly, they seem to be of a mind to just like wipe out entire lands and rebuild them. And that's what they've been doing. So they've been working on Harry Potter for a while and the Simpsons land. And I think that they're going to have to kick out Nostalgia Road. With all the old ones just kind of like are down this one corridor of like 1950s NBC nostalgia, but they're eventually getting rid of all that shit.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
It's that entire, okay, it's just these, okay, Nostalgia Road.
Brendan says,
okay.
Brendan
all right, says, well, that makes a little more sense now. I'm sitting here thinking that this is like you walk in, you have Terminator to your right, E.T. to your left, Harry Potter to the middle. It's like, what the?
Harry,
it's like hidden back. Okay.
Harry Potter's in the middle, like, what do you want from me? Brendan says, E.T. rocking the shocker with his magic finger. That's why he was coming back. His girlfriend wanted that magic finger in her butt. Or as they call it, Arsenio Hall fingers. That's right. Royce is making Arsenio Hall jokes because if E.T.'s still a ride, I could still make Arsenio Hall jokes. But, yeah, like Marie says, pretty much slowly it's just going to turn into this all Harry Potter in that area. Because Harry Potter rides are both, I'll admit, even though I'm not, you know, super fan like Maria's, Harry Potter rides are really cool. The technology in them are is really, really great. Like they do the live 3D movement action. They redid Spider-Man, which is cool. I fucking hate Transformers, but the ride is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a decent ride for sure.
Right,
and they're replacing what once was Earthquake and then became Disaster is now becoming Fast and Furious.
There's a Fast and the Furious ride coming, folks, to Universal Studios.
So I have that to look forward to.
So in case you were worried whether you had your car or not, you're going to find out very, very soon. Dutchie Poo, why don't we go to break?
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Last Sunday show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
You're listening to AtomicCast.
Warlife Radio!
The Cousin Joe Show.
I read a thing on Reddit. There's this like a billionaire in Japan, but he was in a motorcycle accident.
That collects asses.
Yeah, he's got thousands of women in boxes,
collects
cages, things like that.
That's real.
Back up because I was looking at something. Just start from the beginning. There's a guy.
He's a millionaire.
Billionaire.
He was like an electronics billionaire or something, right?
In Japan.
No, this is in Japan.
Oh, of course. Okay.
But he pays the girls. That is their job.
He keeps them in boxes and cages with their asses out because he loves ass.
He has like over 1,000 of them.
Oh my gosh. I was picturing boxes of cut up asses.
No.
Autopsies.
Like boxes of real women squatting down and there's like only one hole in the box.
You guys split it.
There's a picture on Reddit.
Like, where do you cut it from? How much do you leave in?
What the fuck? That's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
Nick, are you all right? Take a breath.
What?
Say it. Nick needs a minute. I don't think he can say
it. We're going to give him a minute. Nick, he's drooling on himself. What were you going to say?
It's
someone collects ass. Why do they have to be in a box?
Because he doesn't want to see anything else.
Why are there boxes of asses?
Well, I'm just saying, if you collect asses, where else would you store them? You said a guy collects asses.
Yeah,
I don't.
Excuse me, I got you a box of asses.
Brad Smith says, is anyone else hard?
I got a chubby. Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Yeah, exactly. The book is fucking funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of the few books I've read.
You read it?
Yeah. I read a book and it didn't have pictures in it. And they didn't pop up at me.
It also didn't moo when you pushed a button.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Okay, you didn't say yes when I proposed to you. You said don't be a dick and then you punched me right in the vault, boy.
Well, because you're a cunt.
Talk Radio Meltdown on More Like Radio. Every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Listen live at morelikeradio.com.
Hey, it's Royce. Introduce everyone.
That's in parentheses. Don't actually say that.
Fuck! Okay, let's try again. Hey, it's Bob.
Nope.
Introduce it.
That's not your name.
Did we do it?
Hi, I'm Eric Nagel.
No! That's his name!
Wait.
You're listening to It's Royce Lopez. I'm Eric Nagel. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Royce. Anne Marie.
Hey.
Dutch. Kyle.
Hi.
Mark.
Hey.
And John.
Hi.
When you're done listening to this week's episode of It's Eric Nagel, you should check out the Hippo Juice podcast for More Like Radio.
Hey, it's Royce.
No!
Hi, I'm Marie.
No, stop. When you're done listening to this week's episode of It's Eric Nagel, you should check out the Hippo Juice podcast for More Like Radio. We talk about comedy things and news stories.
Florida stories!
And yeah, also that it's on iTunes, Google Play.
Where else?
Our MySpace page.
No.
So just search More Like Radio and you'll find Hippo Juice and a whole bunch of other cool shows. And if you want to listen live, every Wednesday, 7 p.m., morelikeradio.com, you could find our show.
/live. So remember, sign up for the Hippo Juice podcast on More Like Radio.
And make sure you keep listening to It's Eric Nagel because that guy rules. Boom. Promo.
There we go.
Nailed it. Good job.
There you go, Eric.
About as good as we're going to do.
Nailed it.
More Like Radio listeners, do you consider yourself a movie fan? Interested in finding out the latest entertainment news via the big screen and small? Well, have your faith shaken no more. With the help of Chris Wetton and Mark Mixon, listen to our epic podcast, The Real Thing, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 p.m., exclusively on morelikeradio.com.
You know, with the start of the last...
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, Notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. Right there on the right, stupid.
Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
Get all the best talk in one place. MoreLikeRadio.com. Hashtag Occupy Our Balls.
Also, concerning the R word, we have demanded a school policy forbidding students and faculty from using that word.
Retard.
Excuse me.
Retard. You can't even say it. So, how do we talk about it?
We all know your opinion on this, Jeremy, but right now I'm the one speaking.
Brothers and sisters, words only have power if we give them power. We must take back the word, retard. Make it ours.
Sweetheart, the rest of us find the word offensive.
I'm not your sweetheart, bitch.
Mrs. Cantage, I know you mean well, but many of us here think it's time that we reclaim and redefine the word. And since normies don't get called retard, they don't have a say in this.
Normies do not get a say.
What's a normie?
I think it's slang for non-retards.
Hey, Fabio, do you mind?
Sorry.
I don't care how it's used. I don't want anybody calling my son that word ever. It's incredibly hurtful.
Even if we did get rid of it, someone will just think of another way of saying it.
That's right. The queers took back their word.
It's different.
How's it different? It's not like race issues disappear if people stop saying nigger.
Shut the fuck up. I can say it, you can't.
Retards, we must band together.
The way to get respect is to take respect, and normies can help us get that message out. Raise your hand if you're with us.
Yeah.
Retard, retarnation. Retard, retard,
retarnation.
Second hour, Dutch and Royce, morelikeradio.com/live. If you would like to check us out live, if you're listening to the podcast, that's the place to go. And if you're listening to us live, you want to get in touch with us, if you feel like calling in with your cell phone, you can call us in at 954-573-2780. Or if you're on your computer, or if you have the Skype app, Hippo Juice Film on Skype. But the best way is to go to morelikeradio.com. Give us some hits. We like that.
Yeah, yeah. So be a bunch of bitches.
That's always a good place. We're on a whole lot of different sites. We like to spread ourselves out, but that's a good little cluster place to go. So before the break, Royce posed the question, Steven Spielberg,
yes,
is it just an 80s thing?
Yeah, is he really a good director? Or he's just around in the 80s. Like, think about it.
You're about to get dominated in this whole thing. Not because I think you're wrong, but I'm just looking at his IMDb page.
I know.
And I think you're going to get embarrassed here.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Name the movie.
Indiana Jones 5.
That was bad.
No, all the Indiana Jones. Okay, so here you go.
Okay, give me the years. Give me the years.
Here you go. 81 was this the last one he had before the 80s was 79, which was 1941. Whatever, okay. we won't count that. Yeah. So starting with 81, he had Raiders of the Lost Ark. 82 was E.T. 83 was Twilight Zone, the movie. 84 was Strokes of Genius.
84 again, same year. He had Indiana Jones.
And by the way, can I point something out? I just watched BET the other day, and I haven't seen one black ET on there. I don't get that network. If you're going to base a network off of a movie,
I don't think that's what they were. That's just, I'm just guessing.
Are you sure?
Well, speaking of black, 85, the next year, The Color Purple, which I guess got nominated for a lot
the
of.
The Color, the African-American.
I don't think any of this makes sense, and I hate this joke to be taped away for 10 years. Fuck.
Sorry, go ahead.
87, Empire of the Sun. 89, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade.
So that was the 80s.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? 89,
always.
Fuck, I love...
So those are the only movies he did in the 80s. So basically, E.T., Color Rabbit? Purple, and all Indiana Jones stuff.
So it's on direct. Okay.
And he was a producer on Gremlins.
No. Forget producers.
Wait, are we talking...
I'm just looking at just director.
Got it. I was looking at producers.
Then he did Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, no. Hey, you're missing 91, where he directed Hook.
Oh, okay. You know what? Sam Spielberg is a good director.
By the way,
Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I'll back it up.
Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, Lost World.
Can I say this? But after watching the ride that we were on, can you blame me for having my doubts?
No,
because
they're not all good because he did the BFG,
Big Fucking
Gun.
That's
way up in the list. You're going ahead of things, Mitch.
Schindler,
can we get back to where we were.
Schindler's List. What year was that?
Schindler's List.
93.
Not many people know Schindler's List, a prequel to Taken.
He did
Jurassic Park, Lost
he did
World,
Schindler's List and Jurassic Park in the same year.
No, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. Sorry.
Really?
I apologize.
Both are credited in 1993.
Busy boy.
Yeah.
Shit.
But
and
he
then
also
97,
did.
He also, 97, yep. He did Amistad and Jurassic Park, Lost World.
That one doesn't count.
No, he directed The Lost World. No, he didn't.
Yep.
Yes, he did. I'm looking at director credit.
There's the credit.
Ew.
Yep.
Is that okay? Hold on. Saving Private Ryan was great. Okay, but now we're starting to see some duds. I just want to see when the downslide happened. I'll admit he's a great director. I apologize. You're right. Okay, sorry.
I'm just going to list them. I'm just going to go year by year, and you tell me where the slide is. Okay.
Okay.
So 99 was Unfinished Journey. It's a documentary short. Okay. So AI was 2001.
Sucked.
Minority Report, 2002.
African American Report.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Catch Me If You Can, 2002.
No. Catch Me
the
If You
Terminal,
Can. Me If You Can. Wasn't that actually Philadelphia?
No, you're thinking of another Tom Hanks movie.
He caught something in that movie, I remember.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio and My Heart.
Okay. What did Tom
AIDS?
Hanks catch?
Did he catch an Oscar, though?
AIDS.
No.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
The Terminal, 2004.
Wasn't that? Hold on. The Terminal. That was the movie where Tom Hanks had AIDS.
No, because that birthed the classic line, where do I buy the Nike
it's
shoes?
Not, first off, I will argue that The Terminal is a way better name for Philadelphia than Philadelphia. Would you not agree? Would you not agree?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I get it.
War of the Worlds, 2005.
Sucked.
And in the same year, Munich in 2005.
I haven't seen Munich.
It's good.
I heard it's good.
It got nominated. I know that. 2000. Then he had a hiatus from 2005 to 2008, where he did Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Uh-huh.
But that was the Aliens one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he had another drought where he went all the way up
hold
to
on.
2011.
Dutch Mersch, mm-hmm. Mersch agrees with you. Spielberg also deserves credit for shattering stereotypes and managing to become the only successful Jew in the history of Hollywood.
The Adventures of Tintin, War Horse.
Uh-huh.
That was in 2011. And then in 2012, we had Lincoln, which got a lot of their critical acclaim. And apparently, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis did his... But it apparently was just so boring that nobody really cared.
I cared. I watched it.
Did you liked it? I have never seen it.
I went through two-thirds of the movie, and I said this before on air, that I did not know anything about the movie other than it was about Abe Lincoln. My family just took me to go. Halfway through, I was like, is that Daniel Day-Lewis?
I'll tell you.
I didn't even know that was him. He was doing such a good job being Lincoln.
I'll tell you something. I'll tell you how much I like Lincoln. Our Lincoln poster was replaced by a poster of Barb from Stranger Things. So if we're going to compare it. Okay, so
by the way, hold on. Before I finish, I want to talk about Stranger Things in a second. Sure. Okay, and then 2015, Bridge of Spies. Then BFG, like Mitch mentioned, was the last thing he did in 2016. And then he has a whole bunch of other things he's supposed to be doing, including Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, ooh. I read that.
Yeah.
I wonder how much Lucas is going to be involved because he's a ruiner of everything. By the way, speaking of Stranger Things, we'll lead into it, Dutch, with this segue. The girl who played 11 wants to play a young Leia in a Star Wars prequel movie. And I think that's great.
See? We're only, Kelsey and I just started watching it.
Okay, but the girl, the girl with the shaved head, 11?
Right.
Huh?
Kelsey, I had to pause the movie and go, yes, that's a girl. That's not a boy. Because she's just, is that a boy? Is that a girl? Why do they keep saying she? I want to strangle her as far as watching TV shows go. God, I'm not even joking. Guys, like I know
I've watched TV with her.
Between the males on the show right now, we've all had our fun on the, you know, on the air as far as watching TV shows and or movies with our significant others. I'm going to get violent and I need help.
But something else that happened yesterday, and I was laughing with Marie yesterday, it was like, I was sitting there. We were sitting there I was scrolling through Facebook. Nobody was talking for a long period of time. We're both scrolling through our phones. Uh-oh. And the very moment that I started – we were there for a while just scrolling. The very moment that I started typing something, then she goes, hey, blah, 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 blah. I go, are you fucking serious? We were sitting here quietly for 30 minutes. You literally could have brought it up at any other time. Do you have some sort of woman radar that the moment I start doing something, you go, hey, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, fuck.
Hey, what are you doing?
Exactly. I don't know how. Dude.
What are you typing?
Exactly. Fucking wait a second.
Hey, did you see this?
I'm like, you're ruining my train of thought. Stop it.
What do you think we should have for dinner tomorrow?
And it's always something innocuous.
Jesus.
I know, geez. It's always something Sterling. Innocuous, too.
So he woke up from his nap.
Was that a burp? Or was
no, that was a yawn. He woke up from his nap, and now he wants us to know that he's awake.
I heard that. That was so far away from the mic, and he was very loud.
Aw. He's like, hello. Hello, Sterling.
Sorry. I'm getting dude neuter tomorrow.
Oh, the big snip.
You're
going to
love it so much.
Oh, my God. You're getting neuter, so and I'm getting his dew claws removed.
What?
And his dew claws.
Yes.
Why?
That's good.
Because, well, they can get snagged on things, and it'd be more painful for him if it does happen, that kind of thing. So, oh. And his are, like, high up on his legs.
Oh.
And, well, like, they're not needing.
They all are.
And especially for a husky with how hyperactive they can be. So.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of doing that.
Poor little guy.
Yeah.
You guys, you never heard of that?
Yeah, a dew claw is basically their thumb.
Yeah.
It's just really high up on their.
Well, I know what it is. I just didn't know people removed them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Brennan says, my wife can sense from across the house when I sit down and get comfy and instinctively calls, hey, come here. Dude, but am I wrong? Like,
that's fucking
I'm
funny.
Not even. No, look, I'm not even cheating on women because I saw Marie. It wasn't premeditated.
Very funny.
It wasn't premeditated. She wasn't being a dick or anything. Like, I could tell it was because she would have brought something up earlier. But I don't know if it's something genetically that pops up in women's head. But the moment I go, my fingers went. She goes, hey, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you doing this? Is this a joke? Are you doing this on purpose? And I don't know. How do you guys know? How do you know?
It's a special skill.
How do you know when we're getting comfortable? We're about to relax. When we're about to just, you know, we're like, oh, like, there's nothing worse than when you finally sit down on the couch and and you finally go, all right, I'm settled in on the couch for a while. Then it's like, hey, babe. Come up here for a second. I'm like, what? Okay, and I go up there. And it's never like something important like, hey, we have to have this important talk.
Look how the dog's laying.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's just what I get.
Innocuous
and I'm like, that. Are you fucking... I walked upstairs. I was so comfortable.
But you understand he's being so cute right now.
I get it, but I see her whatever.
By the time you get up there, the dog's not being cute anymore.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
You seen it like 13 seconds ago. It was the cutest
was being so cute. I'm like, next time, take a picture and send me it. How about that?
Oh, right. Yeah. I'll do that.
Hey, while you're up here, can you bring the laundry downstairs? Fuck me.
That doesn't work.
Oh, man.
So, okay, now, Stranger Things, like I said, we're only five episodes in. For whatever reason, maybe I misconstrued it with this show that I remember last week, or maybe it was the week before, where Royce, you, Marky Mark, and Kyle, were talking about like a show that fucked you up.
Yeah.
What was that show?
Black Mirror?
Black Mirror.
I thought Stranger Things was that when we first started watching it. I'm like, well, this isn't messed up at all. What are these pussies talking about?
No, Stranger Things is fun. No, Stranger Things is good, but it's
it's
bad.
A good show, but I just thought it was something because I had never seen it. I just, you know what I mean? Like, we talked about so many different shows on this show that I completely forgot.
Black Mirror is the one that'll get you. Fuck you up. Yeah.
That's the one. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a Netflix show?
Yeah, it's all on Netflix. Yeah, all the seasons.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, that's
the one I wanted to watch. And then I said, oh, by the way, I got into Jessica Jones.
Good.
Amazing.
I binge watched half of that season.
So you know who the main bad guy is already, right? You've seen him?
Oh, hell yeah.
How good is David Tennant?
The Purple Man?
How good is he? Dude, tell me he's not one of the creepier bad guys in the entire Marvel universe.
It's hands down one of the better portrayals of... because.
Dark,
I don't
know
too. A ton about Jessica Jones, but for whatever reason, I remember like in my early days of reading comic books, because I wasn't allowed to own comic books, but whenever we went to the mall,
right,
I would sneak away from my brothers and sisters and just hang out in the comic book store all day. I remember reading shit about the Purple Man early on, or at least not early on. When did he first come out? I think like in the mid to late 90s.
Western Echo corrected us. African-American Mirror. Thank you, Western Echo. I forgot.
Never forget.
And Purple Man, African-American man.
Zebediah Kilgrave, right?
Yeah, Kilgrave. Fucking David Tennant and the way that... Dude, it's a pretty dark show, too, like, for what
it is.
Oh, it's
very dark. I love it.
Like the
And that's the beauty of Marvel, is that they're able to get into some of these side parts of the Marvel Universe and be as dark as they need to be, and not have to do like a high budget movie, but still have a high budget show on something like Netflix. I can't wait to watch Luke Cage.
Oh, Luke Cage. Yeah, because then the Defenders is coming out soon, which is the one with Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage Netflix. Yeah, Netflix is great. Like, dude, like Jessica Jones was great because they dealt with like rape in a real serious, good way. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Considering what it's a fucking Marvel show. She's a great actor, man.
That's the beauty about Marvel, is that they have no problem going to the really dark shit.
Yeah,
like,
they will.
You know, or even like the more fucked up stuff.
Dude,
like even with their movie releases with like Deadpool or things like that.
Wait till you see Luke Cage, because Luke Cage gets into real racial issues. Like
that's what I.
There's a lot of N-bombs in that show.
Out of the whole Marvel, other than the Netflix Marvel ones, Jessica Jones is my favorite. Very closely followed up by Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And then after that, Daredevil.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Daredevil.
I like Daredevil because I like D'Onofrio. But
he's good, but I mean, it's a lot slower and it's not as
but
fun
I'll say
to
this.
Watch for me as the other ones.
Kilgrave may be the best bad guy in the entire Marvel, including the movies universe, up there for me, because, man, dude, David Tennant's a great actor, and he usually plays such a funny guy. Seeing him play such a dark, evil dude is intense, you know?
Well, just the whole character of Purple Man / the Puppet Master, his ability to just... doesn't matter how strong you are or whatever your powers are, this guy can have a control on you.
Yeah.
It really... And like you said, they deal with the whole rape thing in a very interesting but poignant way. It's also
can we point out how attractive of a black man is the guy that plays Luke Cage?
Oh my!
I pulled my dick out, dude.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, he is ridiculously attractive. Like, the guy's in ridiculous shape, but you know,
That was another thing too. What was great about Jessica Jones and just Luke Cage and that whole thing in general, like when it first came out, like they were like the first ones to just okay, yeah, here are two characters. It's an interracial couple, and we're cool with that. Yeah. Like, during a time when that wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Back in the early 70s. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was not a cool thing to have. Yeah. I think it was early 70s, wasn't it? No.
Late 70s with the Luke Cage stuff. Early 80s. It was the black, around the same time as the blaxploitation movies were coming out, whenever those were.
Okay, so like mid 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that, yeah, the fact that Marvel had no problem just jumping right in there and being like, hey, yeah, we got an interracial couple, where that was not cool, especially like in the South.
Speaking of movies nominated for a Razzie this year, Batman versus Superman.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, Razzies, and those are the movies that the worst.
I haven't even. Okay, do you have the full list?
Is Suicide Squad up for one, too?
Mitch, can you pull up the list of the Razzies for me? Look, the nominations?
Yeah, yeah, pull that up because I love that.
Yeah,
Razzies is always fun for me.
And by the way, just going back a little bit while Mitch pulls that up, if you scroll up a bit, yeah, the girl, 11, the girl wants to play a young Leia in a Star Wars prequel. And I think she looks, if you look at the picture with her hair grown out a bit, she really does look like her.
Good.
Yeah, so I'd watch it.
How old is she?
Right now? Probably 13 years old, 14?
I posted the link to the Razzie.
A prequel,
like they're doing a Han Solo prequel.
Right.
What were you saying, Marie?
I posted the link to the 2017 Razzie nominations list in the chat room.
All right, the nominations.
Way faster than I can find it.
Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel. Here are the
that's a lot of nominees. They have 10 per.
Dutch, can I get some awards music for this? Because, like, what's the point of me reading this?
Hold on. Let's see.
And I need somebody to introduce me because I'm going to do that. Please.
And now.
Lower. Razzies. Lower that.
Royce Lopez.
That was really loud.
Thank you, Dutch. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel. Alice Through the Looking Glass. Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. The New Blair Witch. The Divergent series, Allegiant. 50 Shades of Black, a ripoff of 50 Shades of Grey. Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, was that bad?
It was terrible. The Legend of Tarzan. London Has Fallen. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Electric Boogaloo?
Because they did all the loopholes in the first one. Ride Along 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, Zoolander 2. That is the nominations for worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel. Worst screenplay, Assassin's Creed. That's
Really?
Yeah. Batman vs. Superman. Yeah. Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Ooh.
Dirty Grandpa, that's De Niro. The Divergent series, 50 Shades of Black, Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
Gods of Egypt. Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party.
Ew.
That's great.
That was a movie?
Independence Day Resurgence, Mother's Day, Suicide Squad, and Zoolander 2. Worst Supporting Actress, Cassie Davis, Boo, A Madea Halloween. I'm going to read that again. Cassie Davis, Boo, A Madea Halloween. Julian Howe, Dirty Grandpa.
Juliana Huff.
Juliana Huffington Post, Dirty Grandpa. Kate Hudson, Mother's Day. Keira Knightley, Collateral Beauty. What's Collateral Beauty? Helen Mirren, Collateral Beauty. Aubrey Plaza, Dirty Grandpa. Jane Seymour, 50 Shades of Black. Octavia Spencer, The Divergent Series. Kristen Wiig, Mastermind. And Zoolander 2, and a dual nomination there for her. Kate Winslet, Collateral Beauty. Worst Supporting Actor. Nicolas Cage and Snowden.
He was in that movie?
Yeah, I haven't seen Snowden. I've wanted to see it. I don't know if it's good, but anyway, the next one is Zenith Cumberbund in Zoolander 2.
Brinabitch Cumberbatch.
No.
Brenna Butch Humblebun.
Barbed Wire Tumbleweed. Johnny Depp and Alice Through the Looking Glass, Jesse Eisenberg and Batman vs. Superman,
yeah.
Will Ferrell, Zoolander 2, The Deuce, Jeff Goldblum, Independence Day Resurgence, Jeremy Irons in Assassin's Creed, and Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
He's a double nomination.
That double nod right there.
It is.
Jared Leto, Suicide Squad in, I like to call it Hipster Joker. T.J. Miller, Office Christmas Party. I like T.J. Miller, though. Jeffrey Rush, Gods of Egypt. Brendan Thwaites, Gods of Egypt. Owen Wilson, Masterminds, and Zoolander 2. Worst director. Dinesh D'Souza, Hillary's America, the Secret History of the Democratic Party.
What is that?
One of those Republican dudes who makes those anti-whatever political movies. Ronald Ermerich, Independence Day Resurgence. Justin Kurzel, Assassin's Creed. Dad Mazer, Dirty Grandpa. Zack Snyder, Batman vs. Superman. Ben Stiller, Zoolander 2.
So let's just read the top five.
Yeah,
because they give you 15 nominations here.
Here we go. Worst actress, Jennifer Aniston, Mother's Day. Maureen Collada.
And Office Space.
Yes, that's right. Megan Fox, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. By the way, Honest Trailers called Megan Fox the first PG-13 porn star, which I thought was hilarious.
That is really funny.
That's a really good line, right?
That is a great way to describe that bitch.
I wish I could take credit, but that was Honest Trailers.
She's really good. I like her in New Girl, though.
Oh, yeah. She's funny in that. Radha Mitchell in The Darkness in The African American. Tyler Perry as Madea in Boo, a Madea Halloween. Margaret Robbie in The Legend of Tarzan and Suicide Squad. And Julia Roberts, Mother's Day. Worst actor, Ben Affleck. Batman vs. Superman. He thought he was the best part of that movie, actually. Kevin Bacon, The Darkness. Gerard Butler, Gods of Egypt. Henry Cavill, Batman vs. Superman. Worst picture, Assassin's Creed, Batman vs. Superman, Dirty... Okay, so we basically get the gist. That is the Razzies.
They basically have 10 movies that they're pulling shit from that collectively the people who do these things
Have you guys actually seen Dirty Grandpa, though?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
It's not that bad.
See,
it's kind of fun. It's not. It's obviously not going to be an Oscar winner movie, but it's a fun movie to watch.
Hold on, read the full list of worst picture because that's basically where they're drawing every other category.
I closed
from.
It. You can read it if you want.
Okay, Assassin's Creed, Batman vs Superman, Dawn of Justice, Collateral Beauty, The Darkness, Dirty Grandpa, The Divergent series, Allegiant, 50 Shades of Black, Gods of Egypt, Hillary's America, Secrets of the Democratic Party. Independence Day Resurgence, London Has Fallen, Mother's Day, Suicide Squad, and Zoolander 2.
Wait, Collateral...
So basically...
Collateral Beauty was a Will Smith joint? That's a Will Smith movie?
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the fucking poster, Marine poster. It looks like Will Smith to me, doesn't it?
Collateral Beauty?
Yeah.
Oh, like the one I see all the commercials for?
Collateral Beauty, with Helen Mirren, Will Smith, looks
oh
like...
Oh my god, this is like the one where like his kid died and like he's writing... Letters to shit.
I don't know.
It is.
By the way, Dutch.
Play the trailer
because of Collateral Beauty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just people know what we're talking about.
And let's see YouTube.
There's a trailer that you just don't do the 2.5 minute one. Just do like the whatever they do on TV.
Collateral.
Or we can do that. We got time.
Whatever. Collateral Beauty trailer. Looks long, but fine. Here we go.
We're here to connect. Love, time, death.
Now, in a world where Will Smith is not a man in black.
Human being on Earth.
He really is trying to go the serious route, isn't he?
Does he have a really cool song in this, like Wild Wild West? Is there the Collateral Beauty song, maybe like the sort of 70s disco beat.
We got mechanical spiders for no reason in a time where only steam runs things.
We're going straight to Collateral Beauty.
We long for love. We wish we had more time. And we fear death.
Did you lose a child, Howard?
Oh, he's playing the serious old Will Smith now.
Howard is a brilliant, creative, charismatic guy. He used to love life. Right now, he hates it.
I try to talk to him. I try to reach him, and he's not there. I miss him.
He writes letters. Who are they to?
Howard doesn't write letters to people. He writes to things. Time. Love. Death.
Kids write letters to Santa Claus. It doesn't mean they're crazy.
No, this is therapeutic.
By the way, do you see the amount of, like, nominated actors in this movie?
Yes. There's here's Helen Mirren now.
Who did you write the letter to?
I wrote the letter to Death.
Nice to meet you. I'm charmed, I'm sure.
Oh, so Death actually shows... Oh, my God. It's one of these movies? It's one of these magical movies?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
I was going to say, were they trying to do an Oscar Hail Mary here with all of their people they're getting
that's
in on this one?
That's what I was thinking.
Hell yeah.
All right, keep going.
Nope.
People write letters to the universe all the time. Most don't get a personal response, but you are.
I don't want this.
I'm time.
I'm a gift, and you're wasting it.
You don't think I'm crazy,
but I'm having conversations.
I am love.
Don't try and live without me, Howard.
I saw you in her.
So this is like Scrooged or like.
Yeah,
something of something along the lines of not Scrooge, but so, Night Before Christmas kind of thing.
Let me get this straight: Will Smith was in Collateral Beauty and Suicide Squad, but not Independence Day 2.
Yeah, I think he made the right choices. Just like when he made,
you know what? Fuck him! What the hell is he doing?
Thank you, Marie. Brought up something that
he
we weren't even
went for the.
God damn it!
He could have been in 3 Razzie nominations.
I'm sorry, did he not have time to fail more?
Apparently not.
He was still busy regretting making not making The Matrix.
I'm sure she called.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
I was going to finish off this dumb garbage.
Me, Daddy, and you betrayed me.
I'm the reason for everything. If you can accept that, then maybe you get to live again.
Reaching out to the cosmos for answers.
There's so much more at stake.
So the universe is shaming him for being sad that his daughter died? I mean,
no, they're trying to help him.
Okay, whatever. It seems stupid. Sorry.
Here, then you even understand.
You've been given a gift. This profound connection to everything. Just look for it.
Oh, you know what, Dutch? I found a director's cut where they show an extra ghost or whatever this is that they didn't show in the movie. Let me play it for you. It's a director's cut.
Okay.
Have you ever had a dream that that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
I promise you, it's there. The Collateral Beauty.
Oh, they say the name of the show. here's a thing with when you see certain movies like this, when you have that amount of talent of actors, you know, such as Edward Norton, Keira Knightley, Helen Mirren,
such as Seals,
Michael Pena, all of them couldn't be wrong for saying yes to when they read the script.
Oh no, so
that
of course,
means the script was probably great. That is, if. This movie keeps getting these Razzie nominations and it keeps getting panned by the critics. That is a fault of the director and the editor. Am I wrong?
No.
No, you're right.
So, you shoot all these scenes or whatever, and the people who put the movie together are the ones who put it together poorly. Because it's like 15,000 hours of footage of whatever it is they shoot. And they just pick the wrong shit to put together.
But by the way, Dutch, speaking of movies and TV shows, we finished watching the Leah Remini's Scientology thing.
Good, huh?
Yeah, it was good. It was great. I thought it was amazing. For me, the roughest part was a couple things I want to bring up. Her nails.
You texted me the roughest part.
Her nails. Why does she have "I work at the DMV" nails? Can someone post a picture of her nails from the Scientology documentary?
Did we already mention this on the air?
Yeah, we did. But for those of you who don't know, there's more besides that because we finished watching it. For those of you who don't know, Leah Remini was a Scientologist. She came out against it. She made this whole documentary against it. She's talking to a lot of people.
She's going hard after them.
Right, which I appreciate, by the way. But and the documentary is really good. Definitely watch it. Leah Remini.
It's not just a documentary. It's basically like a 10-part
investigative series
on
A&E.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is that it's so good when you hear them talking, but then every once in a while she interjects and then you remember, oh yeah, you're not a journalist. Like, oh my God, I'm over in New York and there's over, I'm like, fuck you, pal. And I'm like, You know, but she's getting good information. Don't get me wrong, but I'm used to like the really well made Scientology documentary on HBO.
Right. You're used to like the Ken Burns
or the babe or the BBC one. They interview the right. the BBC guy. They have the glasses and the very British voice, very proper. But she's like, so I'm like, fuck you, pal, and I socked him one. I'm like, fucking relax.
I actually kind of appreciate it because it came – the reason why I liked it
yeah.
and I knew that was going to throw you out of it, but I liked it because it was like, yeah, she was in it for a very long time, and she's coming at it from a visceral hatred
and at
of
one
them.
Point, and at one point – I didn't even hear this. I was in the bathroom, but Marie told me when I came back, she goes – she was walking down the beach. Well, Marie, what was going – she was walking down the beach.
It was a shot where she was on Clearwater Beach.
At nighttime.
And she gets approached by a girl who was asking to buy weed from
her.
Like,
do you have any weed?
Which seemed really staged, but whatever. And she says no. And then as the woman walks away, Leah turns to the cameraman and goes, see, I just want to save her right now. Like, I want her to tell her to just go home. And I can't. I can't get involved.
Why would you leave that in the film, number one? Number two. What she was asking to score weed. She didn't tell you got any meth. Like, what are you saving her from? Eating Doritos later? Like, she made it very. I liked a lot of the content. Don't get me wrong. The people she interviewed, you could tell they were being honest. I fucking hate Scientology, and I've talked about it, dude. I was talking about this when the OG documentary came out, the BBC one that I used to watch on YouTube. This is years
ago. The old
school
one, yeah.
That guy was on, and when he was on, I was like, "Oh, that's the OG dude. That's like the very first guy that got me into like really, you know, looking into the Scientology stuff."
Well, that he was the first one to like get everyone into like, "Oh,
I'll tell you the things
that this is a crock of shit."
I'll tell
right
you the
here.
Things I didn't like, and then I'll tell you things that I did like. I didn't like her making a lot of the stuff about herself, and she was doing that. Too much.
Well, because yes, because she's a diva, and second, yeah. because she was in it for as long as she was. What was it 30 something?
No,
years?
No, I understand Damn. That. But my point is, like, to the point where she would interject herself when other people. Again, I know she's not a journalist, but again,
yeah, you know people, what? I know you're saying she's not the greatest interviewer.
People were giving a lot of like people were giving a lot of good information, and but she kept like cutting them off when the story was getting good. You know what I mean? Like. Like, it wasn't good interview etiquette, you know? Like,
you know what she was yeah. doing? And I know exactly what you're talking about, buddy. Yeah. The thing is, what she was doing was she was trying to do the, I can relate to what you're saying right now, but she wasn't timing it properly.
Yeah, like, she would, you know.
She wasn't doing it out of a, I'm trying to make this about me. She was generally trying to be like, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, and this is my experience that relates to your experience, and she was just, yeah, poor timing.
So, okay, that stuff I didn't like. I did like that they got Ron Miscavige, David Miscavige's dad.
His dad.
Dude, that was brutal, because even when he left, he said, I'm not going to talk bad about, until finally his dad basically pushed him over the edge when he called, and his dad said, you know, an investigator, for those who don't know, watch it, but we talked, David Miscavige is like the Pope of Scientology. The main dude that took over when Ron Hubbard died. And his dad left Scientology because of all the craziness that was happening. At one point, he had a private investigator following him. And the private investigator witnessed his dad bent over like he thought his dad was having a heart attack. And the private investigator called his dad and said, what should we do? He's having a heart attack. Should we intervene? And he said, David Miscavige is quoted as saying, no, if he dies, he dies. Like fucking Rocky, you know?
If he dies, he dies.
And apparently, he wasn't having a heart attack. He was just bending over, and he had something in his pocket that he was trying not to fall out, you know, his shirt pocket. But anyway, you know, that's what, I guess, put him over the edge, and now he's coming out talking against it. And every one of them, the theme that I notice is David Miscavige likes hitting people. Like, he would beat people up.
Is there a smaller rat-like worm that no. you want to punch more than David
Oh,
Miscavige?
My God. Can I tell
Martin
you this?
Scarelli?
You look at somebody you want to just beat up, like Dutch. In a bully fashion. Dutch. That little fucking
but
rat
even the
worm.
Dude, even the dude that did try to hit him, you heard what happened when he squared up like he was going to hit him. The staff run in and take him away, so you can't even do
can
anything.
Can you believe he almost – he looked like he was going to hit me.
Hit
like
me back.
That little fag. I want to hit him.
Dude, you know what he
very
is?
Very hittable face.
Yes, exactly. He looks like a little trust fund kid. Like, you know?
Ugh.
And he pays money. I don't know if you guys watch Mr. Robot, but like the dude that pays the homeless guy money and puts gloves on to punch him. Like, that's what he is. He looks like he pays homeless people just so he could punch them, and he puts gloves on so his hands don't touch him. And but he hits these people, and he just beats them up, man, and he's like a piece of shit.
And the other, and nobody can do anything, because if you don't, if you go against this little weasel,
this little ferret, you
get thrown out of the church, and you can't talk to your family anymore.
I Uber a lot, and sometimes, you know, I'm just there thinking, and I found myself the other day for no reason thinking of the David Miscavige thing, going to myself, no one's in the car, going, I'm going to kick that motherfucker's ass. I mean,
he's got that punchable face.
Yeah. And then the Sea Org, which is basically a water prison, you know?
Right.
And, dude, again, if you're not into this, look online. There's so many good documentaries. Going Clear, the HBO one's fantastic.
That's the best one. And the next thing you should watch
the BBC
is
one.
Probably the BBC one.
Which is great.
And then watch Leah Remini's 10-part series on A&E. It's very comprehensive, whereas, you know, the documentary and the movie can only cover so much ground.
Yeah.
Leah Remini, to her fault as far as the nails and her, you know, Long Island broad, you know, personality goes,
she does go in depth
and covers it from end to end.
I felt like Kevin James, like she was talking to me, like I just walked into my in my UPS outfit, and she was like,
you know
what part I really enjoyed out of the whole series was when I actually posted one of the photos in the chat room when Leah goes into her storage room of all the books she had to buy.
Oh, that was cool. I agree.
And explained.
That was in like the first episode. Yeah.
No, it was later on.
That was third episode.
It was later on. Where she pulled out all the things, and she's like, this is why they make so much money. They come out with a series of books that say you have to buy these books to get through the next level.
And then they change the text, and then you have to buy the books again.
Yeah, they keep making up new rules, rewriting the things, make you have to buy the books all over again because the old books were now garbage, and you have to buy the new books. And then the whole, like, going clear levels, this is something I didn't know. People have made it to the most highest level of going clear, and then they change the rules and they bump them down again and make them do it again.
Leah Remini was saying, like, because they asked her about the whole Xenu thing in South Park. Again, oh, also watch the episode of South Park about Scientology.
That was the one that really kick-started all this stuff.
Yeah. So also, put that on your watch list. That, you know what? Let's make a little Scientology watch list, because I would love to do that.
I would say South Park first.
Yeah, do the South Park first. Then I would
get all the funny out of the way.
And then I would say South Park BBC, because here's why. In the BBC one, you see one of the dudes that's still on Scientology side. Then when Going Clear, that dude turns on them. And so you want to see like the Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker thing. I'd say
the only reason why I would say do the Going Clear first, because the BBC one is a little scatterbrained and listeners and or viewers lose interest.
Right.
The one front that Going Clear is very concise and it keeps your attention the entire
no,
time.
No, the BBC one's
that's
good.
That's the only reason why I would say that.
The BBC one's
and
good.
BBC
rewatch
one was a little,
it.
It was a little too British for
rewatch.
Me.
Rewatch. But fine. But if you can put up, anyway, it doesn't matter. Watch that. Watch Going Clear. Watch the A&E one. I'm trying to think if there's another one. Go on YouTube. There's some really cool stuff you get into, or you go down a fucking Wikipedia hole. You know, but anyway,
I went on a YouTube hole at work a couple of months ago.
The Xenu thing, about, you know, the 747s and the volcanoes, because Leah Remini was in the BBC one, remember, defending them. And they asked her about the Lord Xenu thing, and she said, no, I don't know. But then she later on said, you have to say that, because in the Scientology books, it says if you talk about Lord Xenu, you get kicked out. So they know about it, but they're not allowed to talk about it.
Huh. The crazy like thing Club. About that whole Scientology thing is that the amount of comparisons and parallels you can find with every religion, including and especially Christianity.
Yeah.
With a lot of this stuff.
But again,
it's kind of shocking.
But again,
it's like,
again,
the
thing that
if they're just that stupid, how are we not just as
no,
dumb?
No. Again, but the thing that somebody brought up as a defense, and I like this as a defense, and not that I agree, because you know my stance on religion, but they go, the thing is, at least Christianity or Judaism or Islam is shrouded in thousands of years of mystery. So you have not knowing what happened. Scientology is harder to swallow that people are doing it, because it's came around in the '60s. Like, it's people are alive that started it still. You know what I mean? And that's like the part where you're like, dude, how do you fall for this stuff? Dude, there's a lot of money you're giving them. And, Going Clear handled it better than anything else. And they talk about how they become a tax, you know, tax free.
Oh, dude, the fact that they,
I've seen it like three times.
They sued the American government multiple times and won every time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, our government lost to a religion that was made up in the 60s.
It's from the Clearwater paper, but there was a dude that he was also in the Leah Remini thing who wrote a big expose on Scientology in a local Clearwater paper. But I think that the article's online. You should definitely read that too. Like, it goes into people going missing. Dude, in the Sea Org, they force you to have abortions.
Yeah, they cover that in Leah Remini. Dude, there's a ton of stuff. Like, we're sitting here, like, we're just, like, spewing off of the mouth. Like, anybody who doesn't know anything about what we're talking about, just go look that shit up. Like, it's compelling and very informational as far as this goes. But here's the thing. Like I said a second ago, that really made me look back at the religion I grew up with. I'm like, there's
a lot of parallels.
A ton of parallels that I can draw from. I'm like, wow. Even though this one came up, you know, 70 years ago, just because my, you know, grew up religion came up with 2,000 years ago doesn't mean it's any different or less crazy than that one.
Here are some of we haven't seen. These are some people say you should document best documentaries about Scientology that I found on Ranker.
We don't care about Ranker. We're fucking Dutch and Royce, and we're better than them.
Well, they agree with us.
Show is we are better than you.
They agree.
Fuck
that
them.
They agree that Going Clear is. They agree with us. Going Clear is number one.
That's not number one. We said that. South Park was number one.
Oh, and which was the best one? I think which is the best one.
Right, but we're the newest. We're the new sexy Ranker.
Well, anyway, Going Clear. I haven't seen the Scientology, the Jason Baig interview. There's another one called The Church of Scientology, A History of Violence. I haven't seen that, but now I want to see it. Mike Render's a dude who was in the BBC documentary defending Scientology. Now he had a thing called
with Mike Render was funny because he's Australian, but he's like been in America a very long time. So his Australian accent has been kind of warped out a little bit.
Right.
But he still has a little bit of an Australian accent. And Kelsey the other day was like, is he retarded? Like, is he a speech impediment?
Oh,
like,
my God. You know what's funny?
Like, he's Australian. Like,
didn't we have the kind of same conversation about his accent? The dude,
are you serious?
Yeah, the dude from the Scientology documentary, no. The way he talked.
We were trying to figure out where he was
from. Yeah, we were like, where's he from? I go, he's kind of Australian.
He's Australia.
We were having this thought. No,
he's
no.
He's been here a long time.
Yeah. Because we're like, oh, he's Americanized, but you could tell, like, every third word is Australian.
Words. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, is he British? Is he Australian?
He's definitely Australian.
By the way,
what's the rest of the list?
Just close it. But because the show's about to end, something I want listeners to think of for next week's show is another question regarding Steven Spielberg. Is J.J. Abrams the new Steven Spielberg? Would you agree?
What? Like a guy who
does he have good. The potential to be the next Steven Spielberg? Steven Spielberg starting
out, he's already surpassed him.
No. J.J. Abrams has done a lot of blockbusters, but has he done any of these movies like a Saving Private Ryan, like a real historical piece? We know he could do sci-fi. We know he's great at those. But I'm saying, does he have
is he as prolific?
Does he have the potential? But J.J. Abrams is a lot younger. At this point in his career, is he at the same point as Spielberg? And do you think? Is he going to try to make a period piece or try to be, you know, make a serious film like Schindler's List, you know? Or is his wheelhouse just sci-fi stuff?
I think the world is a little different where they're kind of, the studios are forcing him to make blockbusters at this point.
Yeah, but he's a big enough name where he can do what the fuck he wants.
Well, he can, but they're kind of, you know, they hold him to contracts and shit like that. Like, you're going to do, you know, Star Trek 3 and you're going to do the next, you know, Star Wars and whatever.
Leave it to Royce to bring up a subject that we would debate for the next half hour within the last 3 minutes of this show.
Well, no, this is brought up for people to think of for next week, so everyone has.
Is that what happens?
Yep.
Because you know we're going to remember.
We're
that.
Totally going to get to this for sure.
Yeah, we're
so
totally
thinking about it, listeners.
You know what?
To everything else we talk about,
I'm going
to
write it
you're
down.
An asshole. That's the bottom line of this. You're an asshole.
I'm going to write it down. That way.
Write it down, and then you're going to bring it back up, and Mitch and I are going to call you an asshole next week.
That's fine, but we'll still talk about it.
It's going to happen regardless of what you talk about, but.
Yeah, exactly. All right, any other topics you want to bring up that we can have a three-hour discussion about before we get out of here?
No, but I am better than you because...
But really, Roe v. Wade, right?
I am better than you because...
Why are you better than us?
I am better than you because I am brimming with ideas, and even at the end of the show, I still fucking pop out gold.
Yeah, no, you don't...
Pop out!
Terrible timing. Jesus.
Gold.
Mitchell, why are you better?
I am better than you because it will take the blood of 440,000 Scientologists to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Marie?
I'm better than you because during the break, I convinced Royce to take me back to the Twosome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen for a milkshake.
Yeah. So, aww. Yeah, we're doing that.
I could never go to that place. Johnny Cakes, why are you better?
I'm better than you because I don't need the... contact a company to cook food for me. I can do it my own goddamn self.
You just stole mine. I was going to say I'm better than you because I have people who come up with portioned-out ingredients and awesome recipes, so I don't have to think about that kind of shit.
Oh, also, don't forget this episode is brought to you by Dove. Dove, if you shit your pants in your car and quickly need to clean it up, Dove soap.
Ew. Yes, and blueapron.com. If you really just need it to, help making the most amazing meals ever, just go to blueapron.com.
All right. Bye, guys.
They laminate the fucking things for you.
Bye. Bye, wait, Felicia.
Do we have anything else?
No,
I'm not saying bye yet.
That's it. We
say bye when I say bye.
We're done. Bye. Bye.
Oh, wait, yeah. So, Hippo Juice tomorrow.
Right? Yes. For sure. Yes.
Yes, what?
Maybe, baby.
Maybe, baby.
Maybe, baby.
Maybe, baby.
Maybe, baby.
No.
Maybe, baby.
Maybe, baby. Maybe, baby. We'll see you guys next week. That's the voice.